All About Summer Surprises. Grant and I hopped on. Kevin wasn't going to make this one. Grant and I were going to have a fun little episode, talk about the upcoming schedule for the Hawkeyes in 2025. And then Drake popped on for his second episode in a row. And when Drake is around, everybody knows that it's pretty easy to fill an hour. Welcome to the show. We're going to educate Drake a little bit on rev share and some other things. Let's have some fun and let's have a day. Let's go.
What do you mean?
I love your deer in the headlights look every single time.
What do you mean? Like,
just like in taglines. Ready?
Cut.
Action. Oh, your clap is way better than mine. The echo in your room. Welcome in to the Wash Up Walk-Ons episode 6 million or whatever it is. It'll be a Grant and Tyler show tonight that is separate from the Tyler and Grant show that you get on the DHT or the on the DHT on the Patreon. Completely different show. Tyler and Grant versus Grant and Tyler. It's a totally different feel. We are going to talk Hawkeyes tonight. Got a great tweet by a questionable Twitter account, but it was funny for me. Funny enough for a repost for me. Couple new things that have dropped in the Hawkeye world, as well as just the general college football world as we approach the middle of the summer here. And then I am going to go game by game with the one and only G-Bone of Iowa's 25 football schedule, and we're going to rank most important to least important games.
Oh no. This is today we're doing this?
This is right now, on the spot.
We should have prepped this a little bit more, dove in to the numbies.
I mean, I suppose there could be I feel like it'll be somewhat easy. There'll be clusters.
Sure.
Grant wearing the beautiful Colorado Avalanche hat.
Yeah. I feel like it's a great logo, honestly.
It is a good logo.
Like it's one of the better of the four major. It's one of the better logos, in my opinion.
In Colorado?
I'd say it's a top four Colorado sports logo for sure, but I was going to go with...
you're saying just in all of the top four major
in sports? In the four majors. I think it's...
Wow.
It's up there. It's one of the best.
That's...
I don't think a lot of people would agree with me, actually. I think it would be very...
Did we just find our next top five?
Just logos.
Top five.
Four majors.
Top five logos in the four major sports.
We can do that for sure. Yeah. That would get really contentious. That would get some arguments.
Well, there's so many, right? And people are going to have their biases towards their favorite teams.
I think there's like 100 and somewhere in the 120s.
What is there? 30 baseball teams, 32 football teams.
It's 30 NBA teams.
30 NBA teams and
30 NHL teams. No. So
it's 120 at least.
Yes. At a minimum. So there's an arsenal to pick.
Does this turn into two episodes where we do the top five major?
All of them?
Oh. No. Jesus Christ. Grant and I, join us for a Saturday long 12-hour stream where we rank every single logo in the top four major.
That wouldn't take 12 hours. I think it would take about 2 hours.
We would have to prep it though.
You know what? We're giving out all stuff. We can just that could be one of the
extra
taglines.
I was going to say the extra Patreon episodes. No, where I was going with that is, does that turn into two episodes where we do the top four major sports, but then we do college as well? All the 133 college football teams.
It's almost got to be a different list. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It would be a different.
There's also I don't know if, but now there's a real debate too. Does college sports have better logos than professional sports? Because there's some colleges are real lazy. All right.
Oh God, yeah.
And there's some real lazy logos out there. I got a lot of friends that are Michigan fans, but Block M. How'd you come up with that one? Nice. but then there's like really cool ones. You know, there's also some great logos out there as well, like Tulane. Oh my God.
Oh,
you come up with that logo, right? So,
in the debate of logos, if you're just a letter, are you automatically behind every other school that's not a letter?
It depends. I mean,
some letters out there that actually have been twisted into something that beats like a mascot or some
Depends. It's a big, I don't know how into like calligraphy you are, but it would define it's font heavy.
Dude, calligraphy is one of my favorite hobbies, actually.
I doubt it significantly, but it's, it would depend is the best way I can answer that. Like some people do it all the time where it'll show like, here's every evolution of UTEP's logos from 1890 to now. And you'll look at it and be like, why did they ever move past like 1970 or 1985 to 2005 was a home run.
Yeah.
Great logo.
Yeah.
And then someone came in and they must have like the head of graphics retired or something in 2006. And it's been awful ever since then. Right.
There's even question.
Like I stand by, like, I don't know what happened. Like our rivals to the West, Iowa State, used to have some great logos. And I don't know why they ever ditched
them. The Tornado Cynado logo is
that's a great logo.
It's so much better than the I State logo that they have.
Yeah, I don't know why they ever left it. I don't know what was there a single like Cyclone fans? I don't know. Like, I don't think they listen to this show either. But like, if you know one, ask.
There's maybe some. I think there's a few
people dislike this. Were people upset about it?
I think there's some combo fans on this show. I think there's definitely some people who live in. They live in Ames and they're sort of Cyclone adjacent, but they're more Hawkeyes from their childhood or something. I think there's even some people that are on the other side of that. They might live in Iowa City and kind of just keep up with the Hawks, but they were once originally, you know, maybe like a Joe Evans who's interested in both teams. He's just a home state guy.
I don't know if that's how you interpreted our conversation with Joe Evans, but that is not. I did not get. No, like, he's split down the middle.
I was just trying to think of somebody from Ames that ended up in Iowa City. It's the only one that could come to mind. I don't think he gives a single flying fuck about the Cyclones.
I think his former teammate,
the Cynado, was way better. They even have like a walking Cy that had like a flag that was much better. Mm-hmm. You know the worst one.
Oh boy.
Of all time, the worst rebrand.
Okay.
NBA.
Okay.
Can you guess?
Almost all of them. I think you can pick any NBA logo from the 90s and what it, if it's changed at all. I think the Bulls are the only logo that's never changed, to my knowledge, in the NBA.
Raptors.
Raptors had a good one for a while. They're bringing it back, though. So it's hard to, like, if it's current, I believe the current Raptors, like, this is our 25, 26.
Yeah.
Is the retro stuff again.
It's the dinosaur with the basketball.
I'll pull it up for you. Or maybe it's the Magic I'm thinking of. But,
find me the Raptors logo with the purple dinosaur with the basketball, because that's all time. And then they went to an R.
They did go to an R. They changed up the colors too. They don't really use purple as much anymore.
I think we're clearly onto something here, because the logo debate could go on for a long time. That will be our next top five. I'm determining it right now. We'll do top four major sports, and then we'll come back around. I mean, look at that logo.
It's solid.
Is that current or is that from?
This is the old one, but they do. To my knowledge, I think they wear it like once or twice a year.
Okay. I just don't know how you get any better than that. I mean, it's beautiful. We'll do college sports. I think of the 133 college football teams. I think that's an incredible podcast. That's an incredible episode. If we just.
You're taking the you went to like the Big Game Boomer school of Twitter interactions. It's just rank.
Well,
does not matter how many you are ranking. Rank as many as possible just to churn up as much reaction as possible. Like, what do you mean we didn't crack the top 40?
The top. So you know, there's a new big 35. There's a new Big Game Boomer on the scene.
I don't think you can. Okay, can you really replace Big Game Boomer and his hair that he had? I mean,
this guy's
eras of excellence.
I think this guy's account name, I want to say it's like Front Office Sports, but it's like, you know, a meme version of that. And he's doing like
Front Office Sports is a very real company.
No. But it's like a slightly changed name. They changed the letter here or there. That's what it's called. Front Row Sports, maybe.
Okay. I think I know what you're talking about.
He's doing the Excel sheets where he colors in with like exact same sort of style. I don't know if that's the exact Twitter name, but I've seen him popping up over the last week and people are like, dude, you're just a budget Big Game Boomer. Like you're just copying exactly what he did.
Yeah, it's the same format, right? It's the exact same.
Exact same.
Yeah.
Front
Porch Sports.
Front Porch Sports. The one he had most recently was like top 100 offensive coordinators in college football. And our guy, Tim Lester, was only at like 77th. And I was like,
only
bro.
Hey, we would have like people were, by the way, people were begging for everyone said, hey, what if we just had a top 70 OC like 2 years ago?
But don't you think a guy that took the team in the bottom of the barrel out and brought them to the 60s to the 70th range? That's not just a guy who's 70th. In 1 year time, that's a guy who's like up in the top 50 to be able to do that year one.
Sure, but we can agree on this. But I'm saying like I think for I'm guessing Front Porch, sports.
The guy who's
I'm guessing, and I could be totally wrong. He's not paid to watch college football like every single game or anything. So he's not. And I don't know. Our season last year was fine. I mean, like, but it didn't really garner national attention enough to be like, hey, like, everyone knows Tim Lester's name or anything. He probably was just Googling it. And was like after 30, he was probably a little off.
He just went by offensive ranking. Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
No, I know this because you tagged me in one of Front Porch Sports' list recently.
Top 50 most miserable fan bases.
You did.
Mm-hmm. And the Rockies, the Colorado Rockies, who are the worst team in baseball, mm-hmm. came in at 20th.
They did. Which I think, honestly, I mean, we're on pace for the worst team ever by a lot. By
really?
Like a ton.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, we're like 10 games behind pace of the White Sox last year.
Which was the worst record ever.
Yeah.
And we're like,
God. We're on like for run differential, which we've cut. And by the way, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this now for run differential. And this is as of June 11th. That's what I'm going to say this. Yep. We've cut this by like 100 runs in the past month. Okay.
That's insane.
But we're on pace to break the worst run differential record by 100 runs.
Oh dear.
Like the worst one's like 314 or something crazy, right? And then we have like we're like on pace to be like 450 behind.
That is wild.
So it's been tough out there. But you tagged me in this. You're at number 10 though.
Okay.
You're all the way up here at number 10 for our listeners out there.
No. Because did you read the clarifier under the tweet? That
I did.
It says college football only. Not. Yeah. I have explicitly said that I am a Nebraska volleyball fan. I don't know.
I mean, you say a lot of things, but
I hope actions
speak louder than words.
I hope their football team. Well, I don't know if I'll go that far. I was gonna say burns in hell, but
I was gonna say your wife listens to this. You better be careful.
I hope their football team. I hope they don't win a single game in football.
Ooh.
But you know, Nebraska, I like to follow them along in volleyball.
No, here's my problem with this list too. Oregon State, their team is now in the College World Series. Their football is fairly successful. Is this just like they don't have a conference right now? Is that's why they went all the way up to six?
And is that why they're tied with Washington State?
Yeah, like I think Nebraska fans have had a much worse decade than Oregon State or Washington State.
Nebraska being top 10 is valid. I think they're top. Oh, but it's hard though because they added in all the pro teams too. And
you've got like the Mavericks up here. They have the number one pick in a championship in the past 15 years where like the Athletics have been nothing for a long time. Their owner hates them.
You know the biggest miss on this whole list?
Where?
Dude, like the Bears aren't on here.
Ooh, yeah, no Bears is interesting. I would put Bears above a few of these.
The Bears are a top 25 miserable. Like, they have to be miserable. They're in the Browns range. Like,
he must be doing Bears fan. I don't know what his
– Front Porch Sports has some – he has some
work to be here. Oh, okay.
Holy
hold on.
Smokes.
Wait a second.
It's Drake Kula.
Now. Let's see. Drake Kula, can you hear us?
What up, squad?
This is Drake. Sympathy guest because Kevin decided to fucking bounce on us.
Yeah. I'm going to sit at the computer right now and do what I was told was a one-hour sexual harassment class for the state of California because that's just the kind of shit that they're into is mandating everybody to take sexual harassment classes. And it's 2 hours long, not 1 hour. So I'm not real happy about it. But since I have to be here sitting at the computer faking like I'm learning something, I might as well come on here and try and learn something for real.
I'm sure this is exactly what your employer wants to hear.
My employer and I had a conversation about it today how silly the bureaucracy of California is.
Okay.
Hey, a bunch of your friends are over there causing a ruckus right now, Drake.
Referring to those folks as my friends would be a bit of a stretch.
If anybody's not following along with Drake, he posted an awesome Instagram story. This is totally non-related, of him and his training partners. And Drake's actually a midget compared to the guys he trains with. So
how crazy is that?
Dude, it's one of the nuttier pictures I've seen in
a long time. I'm legitimately close to 6'2", 220 pounds, and I'm the smallest dude.
Yeah. Grant and I were just discussing, because it's a little bit of a – I really wanted Kevin tonight because we were going to discuss the new rev share and how the Iowa Hawkeye should break down $20 million into their 105-man roster or whatever the roster ends up being. I don't think that's technically finalized yet as of right now, but we're going to save that. What we are going to do is we started talking about our next top five being top five logos in the four major pro sports and then top five college football logos.
Okay.
So not going to be this episode because we need a little time to prep for that. But I thought the logo game was actually a decent little poll there, and we had a nice conversation going.
And I'm coming here to learn about this $20.5 million deal that schools are supposed to spread around their entire athletic program department. Like all schools under the athletic department get to share this money.
You want an education on it?
I'm looking for an education, gang.
Okay.
Professor Kluver.
Yeah. Welcome to class. Everybody sit down. Hope you brought your clicker. So I'm not the best guy for that, but I know enough and I know probably more than you, Drake. So, okay. So here's where the money's coming from. It's a rev share as far as essentially what the conference makes. Every school in the conference, every school in the country gets $20.5 million to spend across their entire athletic department.
But that's a salary cap. That's not money that's just being given to the school.
Yes. Correct.
The school has to come up with that by their own.
Correct.
The most that they can directly be paying, and this doesn't include the collectives, like the school is giving a player directly a check, is $20.5 million across all athletes.
Essentially, it's been made legal now that the schools can directly pay from their funds, their revenue that they bring in, and the cap on that is $20.5 million. On top of that, Iowa Swarm, you know, we've had Brad on, whatever the Swarm brings in, and this was part of tonight's episode too, they just implemented some new fund that is supposed to be I don't know the distinction on it. And a bunch of our Patreon listeners were like, hey, you need to bring on Scott or Chad or Brad, somebody who can provide more info on this. But they just basically announced another collective called Flight Funds.
Sweet name.
Flight Funds is sick. I wasn't able to really determine the distinction of what's different between that and the Swarm, why they need another one. We'll get more info on that as we go, but whatever.
You never have too much money, brother.
Oh, for sure. I just don't know if you're donating to the Swarm, are you also going to donate to this? I don't know. We're going to have to find someone who has answers on that. That's better than us. What I do know is this: every school is allowed to pay $20.5 million. Not every school is going to be able to. There are not, Grant, could you actually search this? Can you search?
From what I understand, we don't have $20.5 million.
So Iowa is a school that is going to clear the line as far as being able to shift things around to make it work. And in the new age, you're going to have to, if you want to be competitive. So this is in a way, maybe going to drive a gap further into some of the parity in college football. However, at the top, I think it actually helps because now you go from, I don't know, Iowa has $5 million. Who knows how much money they have in the collective, in the Swarm the past few years to divvy out.
But it ain't 20.5.
It ain't 20.5. The problem is it was for Ohio State. It was for Tennessee, for Oregon, for Texas A&M. I just saw the tweet yesterday that Texas Tech, I believe, they're going to spend like $55 or $60 million across their athletic in 1 year. That's going to be their
oil money.
Unbelievable. Can you imagine having oil money? You're just like, yeah, fuck it. $10 million. Here you go.
Honestly, no, but
so I have a hard time imagining that.
So So what this does is this bridges the gap for another, I don't know, 10 or 20%, maybe 40% of schools that don't have the collective funding, but now they can get $20 million that the university makes and they can pay. That bridges the gap from the very elite top five, top 10. But it doesn't mean that like Ohio State's $20 million roster last year, now that just becomes a $40 million roster, right? And I do
think it has to stay a $20 million roster.
No.
No. No. Because this has nothing to do with NIL collectives.
They can
combine extra money. No, bro. I thought that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I thought this was stopping the money coming from outside of that. And now it's, oh my Lord.
Yeah. So the schools are now allowed to combine those funds to pay out a total number. Wow. They can only pay directly from the school, the university's revenue that the university brings in, up to $20.5 million. After that, it's going to have to be something in Iowa's case that is donated to the collective or something else. I do think this is really important because it allows Iowa, a team like Iowa, to go and grab a couple guys in the portal or a couple guys in recruiting and say, hey, we can give you $1 million. Like, we can compete. We can get one or two or a couple of the big boys that maybe you couldn't get before because you just didn't have – with $5 million, you just didn't have that. Sure, Ohio State and them, they're still going to be able to pay 10 or 15 guys 500 grand, right, a year or more.
How nuts is that, dude?
It's unbelievable. Like, we were in college 8 years ago, dude.
I know.
And this – none of this was a thing.
No.
And then all of a sudden – the world got turned on its head and it's like, yeah, all the, I'll tell you off air. Cause I don't want to, cause he told me this in confidence, but like you would consider the long snapper probably last, right? He's probably last of all the, if you take 25 starters, 22 offense, defense, kicker, punter, long snapper's probably 25th.
You're right.
You'll shit.
And he's not even 25th because there's a lot of backups.
Exactly. There's second string backers, a second and third string quarterback, the second and third running back in the stable that are all making more than him.
Many wide receivers.
The whole room, right? Like,
he's getting paid, huh?
I'll tell you after, but you would shit your pants at what a long snapper makes. And we got none of it. So shout out to us. Anyway, so that's the deal. They can pay them $20.5 million a year, and that just is a replenishing $20.5 million. Now, here's the deal. That's across your entire athletic department. So the way that most of this looks is the assumption or sort of the anticipated breakdown of that is the biggest schools are going to they're going to do about three quarters of that on football. So Iowa, the Big Ten, the SEC, they are going to spend 75% of that on football.
I don't know if Iowa's going to, dude.
No, they're going to. That's what Beth has already come out and said it.
Okay. So she's allotted 15.25 million to football.
14.5 or 15 right on. Yeah.
Okay. Because wrestling and women's basketball are both really important in Iowa.
And there becomes the rub, right? Like, what is every school? Football is the most important, pretty much. What is your second program and your third program that are now going to have to split the funds, right? At Iowa, it's currently women's basketball and wrestling. That was the whole, we just hired Ben McCollum and he had to put together an entirely new team. And the whole thing was like, well, does he have any money? Because women's basketball, we don't want to lose our momentum there. And wrestling is a huge thing. We're top three every year in wrestling. And somehow McCollum is.
And if anybody wants to catch Penn State in wrestling, they've got to put up money.
I mean, yeah. I mean, supposedly Iowa's had like a private.
We got Bo Bartlett.
Right. Like we have this like I think his name's Nickel. So we have some private wrestling guy that donates like a couple million a year to our wrestling program.
Oh yeah. Right on, brother.
And we can't even catch him. Like Penn State's just in the stratosphere right now. So, that's going to, the other 5.5 million is going to get split between the two basketball programs, wrestling, at a school like Wisconsin or Nebraska, they're going to give a decent chunk to the volleyball team because they're top five every year. Other school, like there's going to be some baseball schools in the South, Vanderbilt, LSU. I mean, like these teams are going to spend a lot on baseball, and that their basketball programs are going to get cut into. Like it's just a, it's something that every single school has to basically figure out, like where do we put this? And then, you know, the relief comes when you have a collective that also grabs 10 or 15 or 20 million.
Now, is Iowa going to put up the 20.5 million? Like,
yes.
Or yeah. So yes. They're not going to cheap out and be like, oh, our athletic department can't afford it.
Nope. They are 100%.
Everyone knows that TV contract should be pretty crazy, right? If they were all of a sudden like, oh, we don't know where it went.
Yeah. Like, whoopsies.
Yeah. No, wait, what do you mean 10? You lost it? Yeah.
I think the train of thought there, Drake, is if you don't do it, you're one, making a statement by just making that decision, but two, the results on the field are going to start to show up.
100%.
So, you know, Iowa's committed to that. Beth is committed to that. I know you have some, you know, some feelings on some Beth decisions in the past, but this is a pretty good, she's steadfast from the beginning on this. Like, yeah, we're putting up exactly what everybody else is putting up because we can't fall behind.
All right. Well,
no,
that's a good decision.
Unless they're spending on something crazy, like each Big Ten school is getting somewhere between $80 and $100 million from TV every year. So, like, there's definitely some money to be had.
Well, yes, the TV contracts are only going up, right? The problem is, and this is what I was going to mention earlier, is every school has an expense and an income bank statement, right? And Iowa is a school that historically, outside of the COVID year when like every university lost money, Iowa does really, really well at coming in just a couple million over in revenue. Right. So I think our expenses, God, this is going to be wrong, but it's something close to this. Last year, Iowa University Athletic Department spent $161 million and brought in $163 million. So they are they're very good at balancing that cash flow.
Shout out the accounting department, man.
Yeah. That's, I mean, nice. Come on now. Now I think there's universities out there like Ohio State is number one in the country. And I think their revenue every year is something like $250 million. Like they're over 250, maybe close to $300 million in revenue. Therefore, like some of those universities are up there and they're going to have a little bit more of a gap there. They're going to, you know, so we only have a couple million to play with right now. So those accountants over there are scrambling. They're trying to find ways to extend the gap there and stay even.
I better scramble really hard,
right? Something. Yeah, I don't know how they do it. More fundraising. I'm not sure. So that's basically it, Drizzy. You then have, you know, Tyler Barnes and KF are sitting there, and they probably, you know, they got $15 million from the rev share.
Now let's just pause right there and think about it. We were just there, dude. We were just there.
Just there.
I wake up from a dream every night about football. You want to know what I woke up to this morning?
Still, bro?
Still. Okay.
I don't know.
So we had to be somewhere like on the field or something at 5:45, call it, or 5:15.
Okay.
It was 5:06.
Ooh.
And I was in the complex. But it was a very big complex, even bigger than the complex we're in. Yeah. And I'm trying to like sprint out of the training room to go to my locker to get the clothes to then run to the field. And I couldn't move, you know? And I was like reaching for shit and pulling my body as hard as I could, dude. Heart rate on the moon because I'm like, I can't be late. Toilet's going to be so pissed. And then I woke up.
I can't believe you still have those dreams. That's wild.
Every single night.
I think, man, yeah, I don't know the last time, honestly, I had a dream about Iowa. I really don't. But man, I don't know. I don't even have time to dream right now with the new baby. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, where were you going with that? You said we were just there. You were going to say,
I think he's more saying like, we could have gotten this money. I guess
we were just there, and now KF and Tyler Barnes are sitting down like, okay, so we have 15 million to spread around. Like, that thought is just unfathomable. We were just there.
Yeah, I know, right? And like,
that's, I mean, 50 guys getting 300 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's getting more than 300 grand.
Yeah.
I know, but what I'm saying is that's how much money that is.
Yeah.
And not only that, but they actually have more than that, Drake, because then you have Brad and the collective who is they're going to try and maintain whatever they're bringing in. And I'm pretty sure that Iowa's in the, you know, I think when we talked to Brad initially, he's like, yeah, I think our goal is to get like a 10 million annual lump to divvy out to our athletic department. This is long before rev share.
Which is so crazy.
How close were they? I don't know. Was Iowa football, did they have 5 million a year the last couple of years? Maybe. We don't know. Let's assume they did. That's how I was going to approach this whole conversation with Kev when he was going to join. I was going to say, okay, so let's say
we've got $20 million.
How do you spend it? We gave $1 million plus to Gronowski, so he took 5% of it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, then where do you go? And I went and
how would I do it?
How would you do it?
I'd go buy offensive linemen.
And that is a smart thing to say. We might as well just pull up some of the numbers.
I was going to say double the size of the Jumbotron. Super. We make the big screen even bigger.
So I went and, as a comparison, just went to the NFL. I searched and found the NFL average cap spend for each position group to see how they did it, right? There's 32 teams that have been doing this for a long time. Their top position group, using up 21% on average of a team's cap space, is the offensive line. The offensive line in the NFL is probably 9 or 10 guys on a 53-man.
Yeah, probably 9 guys. No, between 8 and 10 guys, depending on what the team is like really focused on or how they feel about their starting five type deal.
Yeah. So what that would look like is 21% of our 20 million per se is about $4.2 million. So Tyler Barnes and KF then sit down. I'm sure there's a couple other guys in the room too. And they look up at the board and they say, all right, do we want to spend that average? Do we want to spend 4.2 on our offensive line? Do we want to spend more? What are our needs?
I think with the fact that do we still have Logan Jones at center?
We do. And Jennings Dunker, two of the top 10 linemen potentially in college football next year.
Okay, good. So I was starting with the center because in Iowa's offense, the center is super, super important.
Yep.
I think that's pretty much in any offense. But as you've seen, we've had nothing but absolute stud centers, and it's been super important. So if we have him, we don't have to worry about that. And Jennings Dunker, that's another really – that's a big one.
Yeah.
I may say, look, we have at least $4 million, if not $5 million, to go out and get the best left tackle that is available in college football. And then from there, we're going to see what we can do about getting a right tackle as well and moving Jennings inside. Cause I genuinely think he is naturally better inside. And I think he would be unbelievable at guard.
I think when he translates to the NFL, there will probably be a lot of draft people that are like, could be an elite guard, might be able to play tackle.
I think he's going to have to switch to guard in the NFL.
Yeah.
But I just think he could, if you put him next to an elite tackle, I think those two could do unbelievable work together. And then add in the fact that Logan Jones is there.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you go out from one side starting at Logan, and then you put Jennings next to him and an elite left tackle. Like, you just run to the left.
Hey, yeah. Run fucking, left or run right. It doesn't fucking matter.
PlayStation 2, 2004, just run left.
But if possible, I would try and spend like $4 million on the best left and right tackles that are available in college football. And then with four absolute road graders as offensive linemen, you are very confident that the fifth guy, whoever your fifth guy is, will like bring himself to the level of the other guys.
Yeah.
And from there, I mean, do what you want with your offense from there. Whatever offensive game plan you feel like running, whatever you think the your ideal offense is, just hope that, because you got what you need.
Well, this is where it becomes really, really important to have a program that can develop people, or a program that can really hit well in recruiting, because guys are going to be cheaper over the course of their lifespan in a program, however long that is, if you had them there from day one. To bring somebody in that's new, you're going to have to compete with other teams.
Right.
And if you can just develop young guys on the roster, sure, you're still going to have to pay that, hey, will you stay at Iowa fee? But that fee is going to be less than, hey, will you come to Iowa fee?
Yep.
And I broke it down on every position group all the way down, and we won't get into it here, but that's essentially how they're going to do it. I mean, development's going to be huge. Tyler Barnes even had a quote. Let me see if I can find it. We want to hit on a high school kid rather than going to the portal every year for a quarterback, Barnes said, because when you hit on a high school kid, inherently they're going to be a little bit cheaper in the long run versus a 1 year or a 2 year rental as a transfer.
I mean, so, you're right.
There it is, right? Like, that's what they're going to be doing. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's fucking crazy. And dude, it's not even like, hey, you figure it out, and then like they're gonna have to renegotiate with every single guy every single year.
Renegotiate. Think about that.
Because I don't think they can sign contracts yet. We're like, hey, we don't have to fucking worry about this for 3 years, right? Every single year, it's gonna be okay. What does it take to get you to stay? All right, well, three other guys said it's going to take more for them too. So how much do we have? Which one do we care about the most? Dude, it's a headache.
I can't believe that KF wanted to put up with all this shit, man.
Funny enough, in this article, I don't know if I brought this one in, but and of course this could just be Tyler Barnes, like, you know, keep in the front because that's what you do as somebody on the inside. But he said that this has invigorated KF because it brings college football closer to the NFL style, the NFL structure, which is what KF has been wanting all along when he saw this coming down the pipe and knew it was inevitable. And he thinks it levels the playing field. He actually thinks that this is better.
The 20.5 deal in particular, not NIL altogether.
Correct. Yes.
Because I think KF would choose no NIL over NIL.
100%. Right. But like, because it was inevitable, it wasn't stopping. Players were going to get paid. The fact that they're going to structure it with a cap and all that is something that has made him happier to deal with it.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
He's also one step closer to becoming the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're just now we're slowly moving there.
Where he just turns Iowa City into the Pittsburgh Hawkeyes. Yeah. So that's what they're looking at. And we'll have a deeper conversation on that. I do want Kevin's opinion because Kevin's a numbers guy. I'd love to hear Kevin's opinion on where we should spend our money. But, you know, you're not going to spend the average, right? You're going to be a team that, hey, we have and have developed players in XYZ position. We need to spend more over here and less over here.
Right. And it's sick for me to say, I'm sick to have to say that we should go out and buy offensive linemen, because that we watched so many guys develop into great offensive linemen.
Yeah.
But the reality is we need real deal guys that don't come block somebody consistently.
Well, and that's something that it's, you know, we have Jennings and Logan, right? And I do think that these guys that are going to step in have more experience than Richmond and Ellsbury and all those guys when they had to be thrown in year two. We got to interview all those guys this offseason. So I think these guys are a little bit more developed and will come in and get their first playing time in a better time in their career, a time that makes sense, a time where they can succeed. But what do you have, right? Do you have one of those guys that steps in? They're like, yeah, this is a guy that we had. We didn't have to go grab it. And then every time you decide to pay a guy, you look down the rest of the list and you're like, okay, there's 10 other position groups we have to worry about. Like, it's a headache. Grant, I wanted to bring this tweet up.
Okay. I feel if we're doing the rev share thing though, real quick, I feel like the real winner of this is the is like Big East schools, honestly, or like Gonzaga.
Oh, absolutely.
Like you don't even have to worry about football.
Yeah, they can pay their basketball team like $17 million.
Yeah, now they have like, oh, cool. All right, we're just gonna unload on these guys.
Like
everyone else has a huge issue that we don't.
Creighton's gonna be they're already unreal at basketball. They're gonna get even better.
Yeah.
Does Creighton even have a football team?
No. Like that's the all those big like St. John's or like Gonzaga. The Gonzaga already brings in like $16 million a year. Like they have money to shell out now.
They got all that East Coast.
So now they got an extra 20 ball on them.
Other coast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Not Gonzaga, but a lot of those St. John's. Like they've got the Creighton's got money. Like dude, you're right, Grant. Those teams in basketball, they might separate themselves.
they up until this year, they had like, oh, what are we going to do with NIL issues? But now, like, they're way, way back in the mix.
Yeah, they're succeeding. This is a bit of a controversial bring up because this account on Twitter is an account that I would not associate myself with. I've seen a couple outrageous things and responses to other people in conversations by this account. I'm not even going to mention the account's name, but the tweet was too good to not repost. And it was just this scenario. And you have to know a little bit of like Twitter culture to understand the joke here. Mark Gronowski wins the Heisman in 2025 and goes first overall in the 2026 draft. But Iowa loses in the semifinals. As an Iowa fan, would you feel like the season was a success?
Yeah, if we make it to the semifinals, the season is an enormous success.
And it's a joke.
And if we have a number one quarterback, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I say he's making fun of that dude who had the Drew Aller tweet, right? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Or I'm not on Twitter, so I don't know.
Right. Drake, you probably don't get this. There's a lot of people that like Homer fans of a school will put out some like unrealistic, like, you know, a team that Nebraska, for example, they're a 500 ball club right now in the first couple of years under Rule. And like a Nebraska fan will be like, if we go 10-2, but we miss the Big Ten championship game, is that a success? And to everybody else, it's clearly like,
it's
yeah,
like, guys,
dude,
make a fucking bowl game.
Yeah, it's like, hey, buddy, that would be fucking best case scenario for you guys. But for, you know, the worst of the worst Nebraska fans, they actually consider it to be like, I think we could do better. I actually think we have potential. So the joke is like, you know, Gronowski wins the Heisman and is the first overall pick, but Iowa loses in the semifinals. Is this a success?
So it's just huge parody.
It's huge parody. It's hilarious. And then it's, of course, a picture of Gronowski. I wanted to know what you thought about this, Grant.
Gronowski looks old.
Yeah, dude. He's
24, 25.
He's fucking won more games than most guys have ever even been around for, let alone won.
And where is he coming from?
South Dakota State. He won. Not played in. Not started. He won 49 games as their starting quarterback.
Kid knows how to get a dub.
Well, Walter Payton Award winner. No big deal.
He's not a big deal.
He won the FCS Heisman.
He's 23, by the way. I got it wrong. But
old guy.
Ah, he looks old, man. He looks older than 23.
He's got a kid, probably. Or two.
October of 2001. So he'll be 24.
October what?
5.
Oh. 10-6 is good.
We were born on Ike's birthday.
Oh, yeah. Ike is a day before you. No.
I would take this. Yes, that would be good. And also, yeah. I think if you can staple this right now, if Iowa does make it to the semifinals,
Gronowski's a Heisman.
Then Gronowski was probably somewhere in the Heisman situation.
Probably.
that's just the route. Like you can't have one or the other of these.
Have you put in your future bet for Gronowski Heisman odds yet?
I don't think my bookie has Heisman odds up yet. I'm going to be honest. I don't think he's there yet. Gotta give him some time.
A more important question, or an equally as important question, is who's going to be playing tailback for us?
Kamari.
Is it going to be tailback by committee, or that young kid, Kamari Moulton?
Which, did you see? Someone put out a list of like the top Big Ten running backs, and he was like 15th somehow.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting him to be 1-2 or anything, but like 15 is crazy.
So we lost Liddell Betts to the Giants. That hurt.
Oh, that's tough. I didn't know that. Congrats to him.
You're in the dark, and I love it. I just love that you're like unaware of it. He went to go coach for the Giants. When he left, I think his last interview or something was like, he was talking about how confident he was in this running back room, even behind Caleb Johnson. Jazz Patterson, Kamari Moulton, and then, you know, several young guys that are on the come up there. They seem to not be too worried about the stable that we have back there behind Gronowski.
Good.
It's going to be interesting. I just, I don't know. There's a lot of, I think that like every season, you there's a lot of hype. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets excited because it's so long. You're like, you know what? It's been long enough. We are going to be the fucking best team in the Big Ten this year. It just is. Like, there's how could we not, right? until you lose, you don't know that you're not, right? So, 6-7 months is just a long time to
The how could we not part's funny, dude, when teams like Ohio State exist.
Right, in Oregon.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I forgot they're in the Big Ten. Dude, that Oregon roster is mind-melting.
When
they got everybody.
When Kyler Casper can't fucking break through in a receiver room, you got everybody.
They got everybody.
Because they don't even have the best roster in the Big Ten preseason.
Ohio State does.
I would say Penn State on paper is the best roster.
Penn State, I believe, is sort of the pick to be like this.
Penn State has the Big Ten's best roster.
But they also have James Franklin, which could be.
Old Scuba Frank over there.
I mean, on paper, though, it's good. Like, they got, what's his name, from Troy?
That means the Big Ten is stupid loaded this year.
At the top, yes.
Yeah.
Is Michigan number four?
I have no idea what
Michigan is. Debatable. I think some people are a little bit down on Michigan. Indiana's still supposed to be pretty decent. Probably not as good as last year. Illinois.
I've heard Illinois is a sleeper.
A lot of sleeper picks.
Their schedule is wide open.
I do love that a lot of people are – I've seen two, and again, this is like the guys who are anonymous on Twitter, but they've garnered some attention on their projections. I've seen two projections already with Iowa going 6-6, and I'm just like, really? Like 6-6? Even if it's a bad year, they just don't win.
7-5.
Yeah, they don't ever win six games. Now –
we played on 2 7-5 teams, right? And one of them was way better than the other. Our 2014 team was not that good. Our senior year team was good. We just didn't win important close games.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that's what Carl said when he was on. He's like, we were just one leader away at the old QB position from being pretty good in 2014.
Yeah, we could have been okay in 2014 for sure. But we did not play like well as a team.
No, it was a disconnected team for sure. More talented than our senior year.
Squad. Probably.
But, you know, senior year, I think we just had a couple. Man.
That Penn State heartbreaker is one of the worst heartbreakers I'll ever feel.
And I think it lingered a little bit for sure.
Dude, that was unfathomably heartbreaking, dude.
My Lauren still to this day brings that up as the most pissed off, like depressed she's ever seen me for an extended period of time. And you know me, man. I don't get depressed. I don't even really get pissed. And she to this day remembers how fucking mad I was.
I'm so depressed right now thinking about it.
There was some insulting camera work on that last play there. Some insulting angles.
Yeah, offensive.
Slow-mo rubbing it just right in my face. There's some bad ones.
Oh my God, it hurts so bad.
It's like fingertips.
Yeah, man. I wonder what Imani thinks of that one.
He says I should have gone up with one hand. He's like, I don't know why I tried to catch it. I should have just tried to knock it down.
Yeah, but at least he's driving like a Bentley while he's thinking about it, right? Because he's so
just tapping away.
I mean, he is driving a Maybach. Did I tell you about his new company?
Imani Hooker's new company?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, dude, he started a luxury car rental company in Miami.
Really?
Yeah. And I think they might rent out luxury yachts too.
Is this like a – is he doing this himself or does he have like partners or
– I don't know. I haven't asked him for details, but I've
seen him post. That sounds absurd.
And I asked him, dude, is this your company? And he said, yeah. And I was like, you're absolutely killing it. I was like, I'm speechless at your business success.
Yeah, that is insane.
Yeah.
Speaking of business,
doing so well down in Miami, it's insane.
Equally successful, Kluver Lawn and Landscape.
Oh yeah.
Some people out there that you know, once a week you go out there, you're like maybe a little indifferent about it. Eh, you could throw the headphones in. I'll mow the yard for an hour. No big deal. Hey, we'll take it off your hands. Let the boys do it. Go save that time.
Are you a part of this or is it your brother's?
I am a part of it. It is more my brother's right now than me. But I would say
starting a little brotherly landscaping company. That's dope. That could grow into something.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's in the blood kind of thing. Jerry Kluver, obviously a garden guru around these parts. Grant disrespected him last episode. Has no idea.
Hey, you were acting like he was like, yeah, him and George Clooney, same name recognition. That's what
you're in the 55 plus community in the central Iowa, might as well be.
Maybe.
No, but we are. It's we used to do my two brothers and I both used to do lawn care landscaping in the summers with my dad and uncle.
I used to do it as well.
Yeah. And so we know a lot, just kind of a skill or industry that we have random knowledge about that we haven't done anything with for a very long time. And my youngest brother was kind of, he's looking for something new and decided, fuck it, I'm going to start my own thing and try and make, you know, try and say screw the man and work for myself.
Goodbye him, because that's always the correct answer, dude.
Yeah.
Sticking to the man.
Nice. And obviously running this walk-on operation and my own fitness business, I have some idea of how to do, you know, run your own deal. And our other brother has time on his hands too. So we turned it into
you also have a network of people who will sign it. Like Walk-On Army in the Des Moines area.
That's what I'm saying.
You have clients, man.
That's what I'm saying. If you got a yard, if you have grass that needs cut, first of all, if you've got somebody doing it already, come on now.
If you need mulch that needs, you know, picked up, remulched.
We're about to buy a sick mower. We're just expanding the fleet, the armory of tools. It's you know, trailer, truck. It's all coming down the line.
When you expand your fleet as a small business.
No.
Yeah. Oh man.
So if you want to be a part of that, if you want to be a Kluver Lawn today, please hit me up. Because we literally started this not even a month ago. As we record this, it's June 11th. The first time I tweeted about it and we decided, hey, let's do it, was May 12th. We're 29 days in. We're already approaching double digit clients. Our goal for this year was to get like 10 to 15. I think we're going to get that and more. We're going to have the most competitive prices. We do fucking elite work, and customer service is going to be off the chain, because the three of us, that's all we care about is the customer experience. So if you got a lawn that you want us to take care of,
you guys are going
to
kill it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. It's the nerdiest thing to be excited about too. But like,
nah, it's not, man. You're starting a business, another one. You've got three businesses, and that's pretty freaking sweet. That's kind of where I'm at with this whole security thing too. I really want to start a successful business and be like, dude, I did it. Like I went from a kid who had no idea about life at all. Yep. And was just fucking lost as could be to a CEO of a successful company. It's like, you did it, kid.
Yeah. Yeah, there is definitely a part of that. It's weird that this is the third legit business that I have a hand in. The first two fully me and entrepreneur. I don't like the word, but I mean, at this point it kind of fits. And the idea that you can make something for yourself, work for yourself, answer to nobody but yourself or some close partners that you care about and build a life is definitely sick. So help us do that, man. Let us cut your grass. Let us trim your bushes. All right. Your lawn will look fucking elite.
And let me mow your bush.
Do you have a bush that needs taken care of? The Kluver boys are at your service. All right. No, so DM me.
It's going to get taken down off YouTube now.
No, it might be shot right to the front of the For You page or whatever. Anyway, that's all I've got. When Kevin comes back, we'll talk more about the in-depth.
And also, will you cut the yards and do the edging without a shirt on? Maybe in some Hoochie Daddy shorts.
My brother's also in good shape.
What kind of lawn service is this?
If there's something to look at, you can make a Chippendale's lawn service.
Yeah, I'm happily married, not looking for anything. But if you want to peek out the window and like you, yeah, sure, I'll take my shirt off and cut the lawn. I'm trying to figure out some fun marketing tactics related to grass where like it sounds like I'm talking about marijuana, but it's just like, I'll cut your grass. I just want to be like, you know, guerrilla marketing, stick out somehow, have fun with it, grow the client base and continue to do our own thing. So, we'll do the schedule next time. That'll be a good conversation. Grant, thanks for just being you.
Okay. Yeah. So this is, what happened to Better Bros, by the way? That was going to be the next great
emerging
podcast.
Yeah, they've always tried to do that shit, and I told them, like, you have to be consistent with it, and they weren't. So, heck. You know.
Bonefire, did you choose, like, the pictures to go behind your head? Is that framed for the podcast, or are you just happen to be in a spot tonight that frame works?
It is very much the framing, but I happen to be just, well, those are always there. And this is, my desk is always here too, but usually
but
you can't even see
that for the podcast or no?
No, it just was convenient. Where looks it good. Is. Yeah, does, thank you. No, it's beautiful. Work. Castle Pines golf course in the background there.
It does work.
Thank you.
Watch out for that rough at Oakmont. It's
tomorrow morning, baby.
You know, you know who they need? Kluver Lawn and Landscape.
Yeah,
Kluver Lawn and Landscape. That's your answer. Thank you guys all for being here. We love you. We'll see you next week. Till then,
peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.